In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The threefold conviction of the Holy Spirit serves as the topic today. When Christ is gone, that is, when he is gone to him who sent him, namely the Father, where he has already ascended, he will send the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And when the Helper comes, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. This is the work that the Holy Spirit is about, even as I speak, and has been since Christ's ascent to the right hand of majesty. So what does it mean? The Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin because they do not believe in me. I've said it before, and it bears repeating. It also bears explanation because I do not want you to be confused, dear hearers. All sin is unbelief. There are two ways to hear and understand that because, as Walther impressed upon his hearers when he gave a lecture found in Law and Gospel, there are only two types of people in the world. Those two types are believers and unbelievers. Both types are convicted of sin by way of the Holy Spirit's use of the law. For the unbeliever, the conviction of the law also includes condemnation. And this is to be proclaimed by way of the word of God, which declares thus, "Therefore I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." The work of the Holy Spirit is to create and sustain faith by means of the word of God. That's part of the second conviction, so more on that in a bit. Nevertheless, when his work is rebuffed and rejected, that is blasphemy of the worst kind, unforgivable blasphemy in that it leads to condemnation. You see, it is only unbelief that condemns, and since it is the work of the Holy Spirit to create and sustain faith, if his work is rejected, then a person is left in great sin and vice and unbelief, and that is condemnable. This is what you see happen to the disciple Judas, who was certainly contrite for having betrayed innocent blood into the hands of the elders, chief priests, scribes, and Romans. However, his contrition did not lead him by faith to repentance, but to faithless despair. Judas Iscariot rejected the faith that his Lord sought to teach him, and in godless despair he took his own life. As the disciples later prayed when they sought to fill his place among the 12, Judas fell from the ministry and apostleship for which he was otherwise chosen to go to his own place. In other words, he went to where he belongs, or he got what was coming to him. That's condemnation for unbelief. This is not the case for the believer, however. The conviction of the law by way of the Holy Spirit does not include condemnation, and this is because they have God-given faith, a faith which trusts in the salvific work of Jesus, their Savior. They believe that his blood covers a multitude of sins, including theirs. They believe that as the law declares them to be, by their sins, they have placed themselves in superiority to their Creator and Redeemer, contrary to what the Word of God says of him and them. How is it then that sin is unbelief for the believer? While the unbeliever is consumed by it, even the believer still has the old Adam to contend with. A believer is a two-natured person, one who is at the same time by nature sinful and unclean, while also fully justified for the sake of Jesus Christ. From time to time, on this side of eternity, the unbelief of old Adam has its sway, and you fall into sin. Let no one deceive you. The guilt and shame is yours, but it has been removed from you and borne by Christ on the cross, as it has for all mankind. And for believing this, you have your second holy and sanctified nature, the new man. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For the believer, sinning is, if for a brief moment, an exercise in unbelief, shame, and vice, for which is worked in them by means of the law of God and God-given faith, contrition, and sorrow, and repentance. For you see, without the conviction of sin, the sinner has no use for Christ. But this is the work of the law on you, dear baptized. The conviction of the Holy Spirit in this matter, by the conviction of the Holy Spirit in this matter, you see your sin. You see the ways you have thought, spoken, and done contrary to what God your Father expects of you. You see the ways that you do not measure up to God's standards. And by faith, you plead to Him for mercy and grace. You have done as much this morning. I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto Thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended Thee, and justly deserve Thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray Thee of Thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me. The Holy Spirit will convict the world of righteousness because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. This is really where the Holy Spirit goes to work. As the order of the divine service continues, you then hear, as you have heard already today, and will hear again and again, the absolution. By way of those words, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Faith is created and sustained in you by the work of the Holy Spirit. The proclamation of the forgiveness of sins for Jesus' sake is the heart of the Spirit's work, says Reverend Peter Bender. That's because by it, faith is created. Even as you, Lutheran, confess by way of the Book of Concord, including but not limited to this from the Augsburg Confession, Article 5. Through the word and sacraments, as through instruments, the Holy Ghost is given, who works faith, where and when it pleases God, in them that hear the gospel, to wit, that God, not for our own merits, but for Christ's sake, justifies those who believe that they are received into grace for Christ's sake. Of this work and conviction of the Holy Spirit, it is said that the one type of person, the unbeliever, is converted to the other type, the believer. One can go the other way too, but that's a topic for another time. But what about this going to the Father and not seeing Jesus any longer business? Well, to put it plainly, Jesus has ascended to the Father to plead His death and shed blood as the righteous offering for the sins of the world, for your sins. He is seated at the right hand of the Majesty as your great high priest and intercessor. In the meantime, He has sent the Helper to convict you of righteousness, so that the proclamation of the forgiveness of your sins for Jesus' sake would continue, that you may be and remain faithful to Him. This is a comforting work of the Holy Spirit, as comforting as the proclamation of Jesus from the cross. It is finished. As you may recall from Good Friday in the work of J.S. Bach, it is finished. What comfort for all suffering souls. The night of sorrow now reaches its final hours. The hero from Judah triumphs in his might and brings the strife to an end. It is finished. Your suffering is ended with the death of your Savior. And there is comfort in knowing that His death is your victory over death. Now this is proclaimed to you, that for the sake of Christ, His suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension, you have the forgiveness of all of your sins. And by it, the Holy Spirit works in you the faith to believe it. It is finished, and the devil is defeated. The Holy Spirit will convict the world of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Satan's name means accuser. That is what he is all about. He uses and misuses the law of God to accuse and condemn man. However, as a believer who has been set free from the condemnation of the law, for you, the ruler of this world, is judged. Let him scowl as fiercely as he likes. He's judged. The deed is done. And he no longer has any power to condemn you because you are in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Paul beautifully illustrates for you the result of the work of the Spirit. You who are in Christ are not condemned by the law. Convicted, sure. It still points out your sins to you and causes you grief for them, but you are not condemned. Remember, it is finished, and the devil is defeated. The Spirit has set you free in Christ Jesus, the same Jesus who justifies and is at the right hand of God interceding for you. One day, he will return to receive you to himself and to bring you to where he is. In the meantime, he has given you the Helper, the Spirit, who has set you free with these words. You are forgiven for all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.